It's out of its context by the discussion that we had. Second, it creates questions. بلغ ما أنزل. What is ما أنزل إليك? What is this? When you look through the verses, this verse really stands out in this respect. Surah Ma'idah, Ayah 67. With these verses, a lot of them we've been taught from a young age. I'd like to look at it from a fresh look.
Yeah.
A lot of the times when we
it's become a bit cliche a bit, yeah.
Exactly. It's like, okay, let's move ahead. Next one, okay. This one talks about this. And what happens is when we understand the verse like this, one question pops up and we're you know, yeah, I didn't think about that. But if we look at the verse, let's analyze this verse properly. And then when you see a question come up, you can say, no, this verse actually answers that question. So we look at verse number 67 of Surah Ma'idah. The Holy Quran says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الرسول, O Prophet, بلغ ما أنزل إليك من ربك. Mention and spread and send out that what that your Lord has sent to you and has revealed upon you. وإن لم تفعل فما بلغت رسالته. And if you don't, I'm trying to translate it very openly without any points that we're heading towards, and we'll see if the points come out of this transition or not. I can translate in a way that we definitely get to the point, yeah. But I want to keep it.
We don't have things in brackets and all that.
وَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلْ فَمَا بَلَّغْتَ رَسَالَةَ. If you don't, then you haven't spread the message.
His message, yeah.
وَاللَّهُ يَعْصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ. Allah will protect you from the people. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْكَافِرِينَ. Allah does not guide the people, the group and the community of disbelievers. If you don't spread this message, okay, فَمَا بَلَّغْتَ رِسَالَتَ. Now see, when a person, this is another key, these keys sometimes are more important than the discussion.
The actual discussion, yeah.
Another key over here is that the Holy Quran intentionally brings up certain things with a certain level of what we may call ambiguity. It mentions certain things at certain times in a way that you feel, wait, what's that? See, right now, for example, Allah has passed this verse, O Prophet, mention that what we sent down to you. It's like secret code. What do you mean sent down?
Just say
it's
it
like,
here.
It's like, for example, if I told you, yes, that point that was supposed to say, no, everyone's just, you know, what's that point? You know,
yeah.
What's that supposed
makes
to
them, like,
what's
listen
that all about exactly?
Yeah. In fact, Allah could have just said, you know, that this is the point I told you. Yeah. He doesn't say the point. He says, go and say the point. Again, now, one of those verses that say you have to go to the Prophet for guidance.
Yeah. Exactly. And the Holy Quran we'll see in all the and many of the verses about Imamat, even Ulul Amr that we'll speak about, is, wait a sec, who are these Ulul Amr? And the Holy Quran very nicely, casually, if you want, passes by and goes to the next verse. And over here as well. Some people, when obviously the question we have at hand right now is that what is this message of Allah? Some people, when it came to this verse, they tried to look at the context it's in. Another key in the Holy Quran is that context. How important is context in understanding the verse of the Holy Quran? Context is extremely, extremely important.
Yeah.
In fact, it's one of the main ways to understand the Quran is context. But sometimes when we look at the verses, the context just doesn't match a verse. And in fact, this emphasizes the first key. Again, it's a question. And that itself is a pointer and a very strong message that, look, this verse needs to be analyzed very, very carefully.
Pay attention, basically.
Pay attention.
Yeah.
In fact, if you want to talk about balagha and the beauties of Arabic, the Arabic language.
The eloquence,
and it's a science in itself, right? When we talk about the beautiful methods used in Arabic language, in fact, is one of them. That you bring something that's got extra importance in a context that it doesn't seem to match. Let me explain this one.
Mm-hmm.
So some people wanted to explain this verse, or Prophet, explain that thing that we sent down upon you in light of the context. What's the context? The context is talking about the Holy Prophet speaking about with Ahl Kitab. The Ahl Kitab are the Jews, the Christians, and other such people of divine books.
Yeah.
And the Holy Prophet is telling the Ahl Kitab, look at verse number 65.
The verse just before, two verses before it.
So yes, so this what we're talking about is 67.
Yeah.
Look at 65 and 66. وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَكَفَّرْنَا عَنْهُمْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ وَلَأَدْخَلْنَاهُمْ جَنَّاتِ النَّعِيمِ. If the Ahl Kitab, the people of the book, they believed and they had taqwa, we would have given them this. There's nice rewards mentioned for them. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ أَقَامُوا التَّوْرَاةَ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ. If they had just lived by the Torah and the Injil, the Old Testament, the New Testament, that are their books. وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِمْ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ لَأَكَلُوا مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ وَمِنْ تَحْتِ أَرْجُلِهِمْ. They would have been fed from the skies and beneath their feet. مِنْهُمْ أُمَّةٌ مُخْتَصِدَةٌ وَكَثِيرٌ مِنْهُمْ سَاءَ مَا يَعْمَلُونَ. Now, O Prophet, send this message. Can it be the message that they have to be told that they're going to follow their books? If we look at the continuation of our verse, وَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلْ فَمَا بَلَّغْتَ رِسَالَتَهُ. The Holy Quran, in a few occasions, Allah threatens the Prophet. If you don't do this, it's going to happen. And then look at the next verses of 68. قُلْ يَا أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ لَسْتُمْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ. Okay, this sounds like a nice one, right? You are nothing. حَتَّى تُقِيمُ التَّوْرَاةَ وَالْإِنْجِيلَ. Until you live by and uphold the teachings of Torah and Injil. Now, this is something the Holy Prophet, وَاللَّهُ يَعْصِمُكَ مِنْ النَّاسِ, is in our verse as well. Allah will protect you. The Holy Prophet, what fear and what inner feeling did he have that when he tells the Jews and the Christians that follow your books?
Your own books. It's like that's even to his benefit. That
it's to their benefit.
Don't follow the book I'm bringing. At least just follow your books.
Exactly, exactly. And this is a question itself. Were they just ordered to do this? There's a question in its own place. And the answer to this is that no. At a certain stage, this was the order. When the religion progressed and when it was a time to open up clearly, the Holy Quran has clear verses where Allah says that you're not allowed to, for example, in the deen, in the law, al-Islam. The only religion is al-Islam. Or we have the Quran is muhaymin, is the dominant book of other books. And we have other verses. Now, this is a separate topic. I'm sure you mentioned some course that we had or we will have.
Inshallah, I hope so.
We'll have this one. Inshallah. That discusses this, inshallah, in the near future. That's going to be thrown on me, right?
Probably, yeah.
Anyway. So this is something that when we look at the verses before and after, this is something that the Holy Prophet would like to have done. I mean, there's no issue in this. And when he talks the Ahlul Kitab, there's much more serious than this. When you look at the Ahlul Kitab, when the Prophet is ordered to speak to the Ahlul Kitab, look at the verses that Allah has mentioned. For example, we have لَا تَغْلُوا فِي دِينِكُمْ. Don't have ghulu in your religion. Now, this is also related to our topic. The Ahlul Kitab, they would associate partners with Allah. Now, this is very serious when the Holy Prophet is instructed to go to them and tell them, stop associating partners. It's like somebody came to us and told them, for example, stop believing in the Holy Prophet. It's tough for them to say, we beat them up, right? The Holy Prophet now has to go to Ahlul Kitab and tell them, stop having ghulu in your religion.
This is a more sensitive than
more telling the them. Most sensitive is their basis of their religion. This is much worse. It fits over here that Allah gives this threat. But we don't find this in the verse. In this context, is a very nice order to the Ahlul Kitab. The Ahlul Kitab are told that you just uphold your own religion. As I said, the doubt of that is in its own place.
Yeah.
I mentioned that the Holy Quran, this isn't what the Holy Quran says in its totality. Coming back to that key that you spoke about.
Yeah, yeah.
I hope that's not going to cause issues.
No, inshallah, inshallah.
If needed, we can open that up in its own time. Okay, point number two. Somebody says, okay, fine, it doesn't fit in this exact context. Because before and after. So I'm moving towards your question now. That maybe the Prophet was ordered to say that, no, follow the Quran, follow the Islam. But you look at the verse after this, Ya Ayyuha Rasul Balligh Qul. And it's going back to the one before. So it can't be that follow the Quran. And then again it says follow what you are following.
Mm-hmm. So he started by telling them follow the Injil and the Torah. And Allah says give them a specific message. And then he goes back to, and if that message is the Quran, then why is he going back again saying follow the Injil and the Torah?
Point number one that we can clearly take from this verse is that this is not exactly in its context. Okay, fine. It's not exactly in its context. Let's try and keep it as much as we can. Let's still try and keep it with Ahlul Kitab. Let's still try and keep it away from Imamah, right? Because there's no Imamah in this verse. Let's try. Okay, attempt number two. And this we build on towards the final conclusion that it has to be a threat directly at the Prophet. Because Allah ya'simuka. Not Allah ya'simu dinahu. Allah ya'simu al-Islam. That is in its own place. Allah ya'simuka. Not even the mu'minin here, yourself, min al-nas. What does Imamat have to do with the life of the Prophet? Some of the Mufassin beautifully explain this concept. I'll quote this from Al-Mizan. Al-Mizan beautifully explains this in a really beautiful, and it's something that we can understand and comprehend very easily as well, that when it comes to saving the Holy Prophet himself, it has to be something that the people and the Prophet had a sensitivity towards the Holy Prophet himself. And what was this? Now, this, like you're saying, I mean, the general concept is still general.
Yeah.
We understand specific because you say that, look, there's 5 things, 10 things. None of these apply except for one thing. Yeah. And we started with this, right? We were looking for this in the Holy Quran. This, in fact, matched it. We, our intellect was saying, look, there is a verse like this. And we have other indications to this as well. The people used to come to the Prophet and say, who's your successor? We have Jews and Christians that come to the Prophet and say, who's your successor? Because when they see such a religion and such a movement, whether we look in the political sense, whether we look in the internal building sense and the self-purification and all of the other components of Islam, we feel that there must be a continuation. And this verse answers that fear for us. Now, I'm adding still to it, it's not finished, but the Prophet, when appointing, this is a point from Al-Mizan, when appointing his cousin and his son-in-law, there was sensitivity here.
Yeah.
And we have this in the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran really gives all the keys to us. مِنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمٍ وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى رَجُلٍ مِّنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمٍ. This is a question that the Arabs always had. That if the message, okay, fine, there is a message, Allah has sent a message, there is Islam, why not me? Why not our tribe? Why not my brother? Why not my people? Mm-hmm. And this is why when it came to successorship, why did it become such a heated discussion? One of them is this, that the Holy Prophet was being ordered to appoint his own cousin and his brother. Cousin now is the biological relationship. The Holy Prophet Imam Ali grew up together, as Imam Ali grew up with the Holy Prophet. He appointed him as his son-in-law. Everyone wanted to get married to Bibi Fatima. The only person who was accepted was Imam Ali. And all of the fadail of Imam Ali, in fact, if you look at after the Holy Prophet, again, there's a question that pops up that how, okay, fine, Imam Ali was Imam. After the Holy Prophet, why did everyone turn against? Why did so many people turn against? One of them was this Ahqadan, Badariyatan, Wa Khaybariyatan, Wa Hunayniyatan, that the Prophet had spoken about Imam Ali so highly that the people got jealousy in them. The normal person in Arabia at that time felt a sense that why is the Holy Prophet continuously mentioning Imam Ali? And we have this in a hadith that the people came and said, look, Prophet, this is too much now. And when you look at Su'ila Sa'ilun bi'adhabin waqi', Suratul Ma'arij, one of the hadith under that mentioned this, that the people said, look, you told us to believe in Allah, we said fine. You told us zakat, we said fine. You told us fasting, we said fine. You told us hajj, we said fine. But Prophet, this one we can't take. And that's why Wallahu ya'asimuka min an-nas makes sense over here. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's a side point over here that the fear of the Holy Prophet wasn't a personal fear.
Yeah, of course.
It was a fear for the religion and that such a movement that Allah had set up would be stopped over here.
Yeah.
Look, from here we've understood that this has to be about the matter of Khilafah, the matter of the successorship of the Prophet. It's the only matter that we can find. Now, with this in mind, a person can still say, nah, it's not proven. When we look at the hadith about this verse, it's so clear that it's about the last year of Hajj and the event of Ghadir.